You know, on Tuesdays at this time, we head over to West End and what should be a very, very happy man. Their head coach, Derek Mason, is on the line just after their big win over Missouri, beating a ranked opponent on Saturday, and which certainly grabbed the college football world when that game was completed. Coach, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Willie, Darren, Chase, man. Good to be on the radio.
Yeah, it was, you know, Derek, our conversation last week, and we talked about, you know, I said, look, we've been talking to you since day one, and you've been in these spots before, and you have found a way to dig yourself and your team to dig yourself out and finish on a high note. And I basically said, so how are you going to go about doing that? And you laughed, and I said, look, I'm just saying that's what we've done. Those are conversations we've had, and here we are today a week later, and, wow, you come off a win like that. So just kind of take us through when we talked to you this time last week to where we sit today.
Well, I think this team, you know, went about the preparation of being intentional. That was the big word of the week. You know, what do we do? How do we go into, you know, in this game? You know, I mean, you got to change what needs to be changed. There was, you know, coming out of UNLV, you know, from tackling to, you know, moving the line of scrimmage, consistent offense, you know, getting the ball to Keyshawn, making sure, I mean, that we understood what we needed to do on special teams, and, you know, maybe try to flip the field position battle, and just looking at, you know, third down, you know, like what could we do on third down to give ourselves a chance, and I thought this team, you know, responded the right way. It was a great week of practice, and sometimes you can always say that there's a great week, but, you know, in reality, it wasn't just a great week of practice. It was the Friday night preparation and how these guys were really focused and in their element on Saturday as they put away the things that didn't matter to focus on the things that do.
You were obviously very emotional after the game. Did you deliver any different speech? I mean, obviously you went into that game with high emotions. It showed and boiled over afterwards. Was that your message to the team, or was it just business as usual and then when you got the result you were looking for, that's kind of what we saw?
Well, I think what happens is you know, again, nowadays with social media, everybody's got an answer, you know, to what ails you. And you know, I feel like there was a lot of noise, you know, regarding, you know, our players, coaches, program. And I wanted to intentionally take back, you know, the narrative, you know, about, you know, what we had experienced. You know, Commodore Nation is a true fan base. You know, our players, you know, play the game to win. And I thought the energy, you know, that they brought, you know, to the contest, you know, what was a difference maker. Okay. It built. It started as a one room party and probably, you know, room 103 and extended to, you know, the unit, to the field, to the stadium. And everybody felt that energy. So, that's how I saw it. And then, you know, the I'm built for it. You know, man, part of it, you know, was more about, you know, man, letting people know, man, that you know, walking these young men through this Vanderbilt experience is what I'm built for. I understand what this place is, and we just have to be intentional about what we say and what we do in order to find success. And that was the message I sent to my team. That was the message I wanted people to know and understand, and that's where we sit today.
Yeah, I think that's what we've always enjoyed about our conversations with you is, one, your raw emotion and how you feel, and you're going to tell it like it is, and you've been no different. Whether it's in a big over a big win, whether it's dancing or, you know, saying stuff like you did. I mean, at least I'll speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I've always appreciated just you in that moment, because that's you being you, and I don't think that was any different on Saturday. So with that being said, Coach, I mean, you know, you also touched on things, because I brought it up last week on the show that, you know, it's not perfect around you and there's things that need to get better. So you've got a new AD, and I think we're going to talk to him probably this week, but you talk to him all the time. What has your relationship been like with Malcolm Turner?
You know, it's been new, and, you know, I mean, he's a man who understands exactly what he wants to do. Malcolm's been supportive. He spent time understanding what's behind the curtain and behind our program and how badly we need resources, you know, to compete in this conference and ultimately win a championship. I think that's the way he sees it. I think I know and believe that's the way I see it. I believe we both understand that there's no better place to get an education than Vanderbilt, no better city to do it in than Nashville. And really, you know, I mean, for me, I think he believes that I'm the right man for the job. But you know what? I mean, there's expectations on his part, too, of, you know, moving this program forward and making sure, man, that the leadership, continues to grow, shows change, and that you know, like, there's truly something to invest in. And so, you know, with that, it's been great to work with Malcolm. You know, in our conversations, like, on the road, as he's been to some games, you know, like, it's been about, you know, what can we do to make it better? And, you know, I mean, in the midst of a season, I mean, you can't do a ton to make it better. But right now, you know, I've got to do my job. He's doing his job. And what we look to do is have a collaborative experience, man, that makes Vanderbilt better.
Derek Mason is with us. And, Coach, just sort of building on that, I feel like I've heard some talk that Malcolm Turner's come in. He's got a vision of more resources, trying to collaborate with everybody on the campus to put a plan in motion, identify what needs to get done. How much are you encouraged that, as you said, the resources are so important to any team in the SEC that down the road that it can be significantly better than it is?
Well, I, in the end, it has to be significantly better than what it is. You know, I mean, as we've seen, you know, I mean, programs in this conference, whether it's you know, I mean, Missouri, Kentucky, you know, I mean, Georgia's in their third or fourth phase of a new facility in 4 years. You know, this is not just about facilities, man. It's about the idea of providing, you know, the best student athlete experience that you can provide. You know, nowadays, that's what you're competing against. That's what you're up against. And that's what you have to recruit against. And I believe, man, we're in one of the best cities, like I said, you know, with a phenomenal education, you know, here at Vanderbilt University, and we're different. And so, you know, anytime we do anything here at Vanderbilt, it's going to be uniquely Vanderbilt. It's not about, building, you know, Taj Mahals. It's about, you know, man, doing what's best for Vanderbilt and making sure Vanderbilt shines in its own way. And when that opportunity comes, Vanderbilt will never look back because Vanderbilt's going to do it the right way.
There's so many things that were impressive about the win on Saturday. I want to ask you about one specifically that I saw that I think I can appreciate, and I think anybody can appreciate. A guy, Riley Neal, he loses his job, he gets benched. It would have been easy to mentally be somewhere off in the hinterlands. Suddenly he comes in, then he has the tough break of throwing an interception that allows Missouri to get back in the game. I give him a lot of credit for stabilizing and making some key plays on the touchdown drive late and then, you know, taking it on in for a victory there. I thought that showed some pretty good poise, maturity, that type of thing.
Riley Neal grew up in this program on Saturday. You know, sometimes when you're trying to get to where you need to go, you know, there's going to be stop signs sitting in the way. I mean, you know, to take his first snap, come in and throw an interception, you know, I mean, he very easily could have packed it in. You know, he goes, he tackles the guy, he gives us a chance to play defense. We don't get the stop. But what you saw, you know, when Riley came back to the sideline, it wasn't like guys were down on him. Guys actually said, listen, man, we got this. And when he goes back out on the field, you know, like to compete, you know, man, everybody's with him. His offense, defense, and special teams. It wasn't like Riley was by himself, and he had to grasp that moment. He had to take a deep breath and say, "Okay, let's ride." And in doing so, you know, man, he maneuvered, you know, man, in a couple of great drives. You talk about, you know, him running for a first down. I mean, man, he had a quarterback pull where, you know, he runs, and most of the time after, you know, just getting a quarterback, you know, man, hit and knocked out of a ball game, you know, the inclination would be to slide. He dives, you know, over three guys to get a first down. Then he comes back. He throws the touchdown, you know, I looked up and I'm looking at Cam, you know, man, out in the flat, man. He throws a dime to Cam. Cam spins and gets it in. And then, you know, to utilize his feet on that third down conversion where he feels pressure, he slides, and he's able to you know, deliver a ball in the vicinity of Pinckney, and for Pink to do what he does, which is, you know, man, make plays when we need them. It was just great to see. Everybody was, you know, man, pulling for each other. The energy was great, and the opportunity was one for him to grow on, and now that's where we sit today.
I really saw a defense that looked so energized, flying to the ball, picking up each other, making key plays. What do you think jump-started? What was different this week?
you know, the difference was how they took the preparation of practice and transferred it to game. They were focused before the game, truly focused before the game. I mean, it looked different. Even in pregame, you watched them in pregame. I mean, they put hands on each other. You know, like the defensive line went after the offensive line. And I think it was the tone setter. I challenged these guys, you know, like to take every opportunity up until game time, okay, to make sure, man, that you wanted this game to look, okay, the way you wanted it to look. You practice hard. Let your pregame, you know, a performance, an opportunity, man, to warm yourself up, be exactly what you want to take into this game. And they took it from the class to the grass. They took it to the big stage. They took it to the arena where guys have to get in the arena and fight, and they fought. They strained. You know, you saw guys straining on blocks. You saw guys straining to get off tackles. We tackled better because, you know, attitude affected outcome. The guys went into it the right way. When you're going into it the right way, you come out the other side, you know, in that way. And it became infectious. It was a 60-minute party. The volume kept going up. It never turned down. And these guys were the beneficiaries of the hard work. So, you know, kudos to these coaches and players.
Derek Mason is with us, Vanderbilt head football coach. And sticking with the defense, I know Jason Tarver moved to the booth. What did you see from that? What did he see? Do you think that that's something that definitely helped things?
I think it did. Jason had talked to me, you know, man, about it, and I agreed. I think, you know, sometimes calling it, I had to call it downstairs because I'm a head coach. Right. Who was taking over defensive coordinator duties, and by NCAA rule, the head coach has to be on the ground. Well, you know, I mean, in this, I think, man, you can call a game a much better game from the box just because it's less frantic. You're not dealing with all the bodies around you and everybody you've been speaking to. You're just able to lose yourself in the game and what you see. It's pure from up there. And I thought JT, man, did a masterful job of just playing chess. You know, I mean, he called the right plays at the right time, and he got guys in the right position. And I think the sideline adjustments were exactly what we needed, you know, I mean, to have. You know, I mean, Mark Mattioli came down, and he did exactly, you know, like what JT, you know, I mean, talked about in terms of the adjustments. And everybody got done what they needed to get done in terms of rotations and getting, you know, best and fresh players on the field. So, I mean – again, it's a step in the right direction. You know, we're not a new team overnight. We're just a team, man, who's working to get better. And that work was good enough to win that game. But now what we got to do is continue to fix the issues that we can fix in order to get ready for South Carolina.
You spoke on your quarterbacks a little bit earlier, and when did you know that you were going to go with Mo Hassan? And look, Coach, I asked you about Deuce Wallace and Riley Neal last week. He didn't mention Mo Hassan, so I thought we were cool. I thought you'd tell me, but yeah, that's fine.
Sometimes you got to keep it close to the vest, right?
You found out the hard way.
I did. No, you know, I did. But when did you know that you were going to make a change?
You know, first of all, you know, sorry, you know, sorry, not sorry. I mean, I wish I could have told you, but I knew, you know, at 2 a.m., you know, on Sunday morning, you know, I couldn't sleep. Felt like coming out of that game, and we needed a change. We needed a different personality back there. And, you know, man, we talked to Jerry about it on Sunday practice. You know, the change was made, and we never looked back. You know, Mo was going to be the number one. Felt like Riley could be the number two, and Deuce was going to be the number three. And that's sort of the way we practiced all week. And, you know, I mean, sometimes as a coach, man, you got an intuition. But, I mean, I've seen Mo compete. I mean, he's the same dude every day. These dudes sort of jumped on his back because, and he went after our defense in practice. And I think that really, you know, solidified in my mind exactly what I felt.
So what are you going to do? You got an off week coming off the big win. What are you going to do besides the boring football stuff? Anything fun? You got to recruit?
Boring.
What do you got to do?
Nothing's boring about football. I mean, this is a
– No, I know. I know that.
This is a DYJ week. This is a do-your-job week. we had practice today. We've got practice tomorrow, and then our guys will have a little time off. But, you know, with time to have longer individual periods in practice, work on the fundamentals, you know, the detail, you know, the – the greater parts of what we need to be doing and where we want to go. That's what these two practices are about. It's where our kids need to go. They'll get a quick break, and then Sunday, man, we'll be right back on South Carolina. But you know, in between, I'm going to leave on Thursday. I got to, you know, man, hit some local schools and then get on the road. I'm going to head to Texas for a little bit to, you know, do a little recruiting. So I'll be in Texas Thursday, Friday, and then you know, man, back on Saturday so we can get to work.
Golly. That was such a business answer. I mean, I was looking for, like, you're going to pick out a new suit or a new vest or some new shoes or something. But, I guess it's football. It's work time.
DYJ.
DYJ. Let's do it, fellas.
Hey, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Great job. Nice win over Missouri. And we'll do it again next week.
Thank you, fellas. Anchor down.
All right. That is Derek Mason, Vanderbilt head football coach. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase. On the other side, ESPN 102.5, The Game.